kids. It's time to get some SML podcast all up in that.
What's up, everyone? This is the SML Podcast. I'm your host, Joe. Joining me as usual, Cole. Cole, how are you doing today?
I'm okay, Joe. I took a two-hour nap, so I'm better than I could have been.
We are no longer blazed this episode.
No. I mean, I'm still medicated, but that's part of the course at this point.
Yeah, it's a different level of medicated.
Yeah, I did not pipe up on steroids. This is my naturally charming side.
Charming. Yeah. So how's your week been?
Pretty mundane, just normal. So it's a week. It just did things. I've been trying to catch up on my Inktober drawings because I fucked up and got behind on those. And now I'm 2 days behind.
You're a lot of days behind on Cocktober as well.
I've been drawing cocks, but I haven't been sending them to you because I want there to be some level of surprise when you get your coloring book.
Are you just using Cocktober as the basis for the coloring book and just all the drawings that you're making for Cocktober are going to be the book?
Yeah.
Sweet.
So it'll be, I've already like got parts of it laid out and transferred to PDF format and everything. It shouldn't be such a long process, but because I'm like not being one of those assholes that goes on Google and finds images and uses a Photoshop filter to turn them black and white, it's taking me longer. Mm. but I have a few pages already laid out. So the plan is for it to be around 64 pages long.
Nice.
But I'm only going to print the dicks on one side of each page and leave the back side blank. So if you color with markers, they won't be ruined with bleed through.
Nice.
I thought this out.
And that way, if you like one and you tear it out and you want to hang it up, you don't have to worry about one on the other side being hidden.
Exactly. You don't lose a weenie. So you still have all 31 weenies.
I look forward to one of the weenies having a giant beard wearing an SML shirt.
Well, I mean, that's kind of a given. It's going to be a gamer weenie. It'll be like a little Xbox controller resting on the balls.
You're going to freak everyone out and it'll be a PlayStation controller.
Now I've gave away my coup de grace. Shit.
Oh, man. Speaking of giving things away, the Telltale saga continues with The Walking Dead being given away to a new developer. Have you heard this?
I have. It's
Skybound Games has reached a deal with Telltale Games to allow Skybound to continue development on The Walking Dead, the final season. The founder of Skybound Games, funny enough, is The Walking Dead creator Robert Kirkman.
Yeah, I'm not particularly surprised by this. I figured if anybody would have taken it, it would have been him. But they kept it. I mean, Telltale kept saying, well, there's people talking about taking it, but they kind of kept it under wraps that Skybound would be it. They didn't say, hey, we reached out to Skybound. But if I remember specifically from the show, Robert Kirkman likes to keep the Walking Dead IP pretty close to his chest. Mm-hmm. So it's not particularly stunning that his studio would be the one to be like, no, fuck it. You fucked it up. We're going to finish it. So.
Yeah. I know they hope to bring back many of the original devs. So that's nice that hopefully some people will be getting their jobs back.
That would be ideal. You got to wonder, though, because, I mean, Skybound is a studio all on its own. So you got to wonder how many they're going to actually take on, because, you know, they've already got their own, you know, in-house team. although they may obviously were probably working on other things, they're not going to want to inflate their budget for something that's only got two episodes left to it.
True.
So I will be curious how many of the original team they actually pick back up, if any. But I don't expect it to be like a monumental amount of people.
Can you see Skybound hiring them and then just opening a second studio internally to work on adventure games?
I don't know. I would be inclined to say yes if it weren't for the fact that Overkill also has a Walking Dead IP right now.
Well, it doesn't have to be Walking Dead games, clearly, just adventure games in general.
It wouldn't be a far-fetched thing. How big of a studio is Skybound?
I have no clue.
Because I know I've seen the branding on like other games before, but I've never really actively searched out to see how large they were. So I guess it would kind of depend on, you know, how big they are independently, as well as how many other, you know, projects they've already got of their own to deal with. But they very well could end up just going, hey, you know what? Come on, let's work. I mean, it's so up in the air, the whole Telltale thing, that literally anything could happen at this point, and yeah. Nothing would be surprising. You'd be like, yeah, that's pretty much what I figured.
Well, they've worked with The Long Dark and Slime Rancher, so there's two games that they've had their fingers in.
Fingers. Hey. Yeah, that's... I could see opening up an adventure game, like sub-studio or whatever, but I wouldn't want to put my eggs in that basket and count them before they hatched. How redneck was that? But,
Yeehaw.
I don't know. I wouldn't be surprised, but I wouldn't bank on it either, is what I'm trying to say.
Yeah. I don't know. Let's see, what other news has there been? October is going to be a fairly big month for EA Access members, as there are three games being added to the EA Access vault this month.
And they are...
Two of them are already there, with Fight Night Champion and motherfucking Burnout Paradise Remastered, both in the vault.
How long ago did Burnout Remastered come out?
I don't remember the date.
It doesn't seem like it's been very long, maybe a few months.
It hasn't, but I guess they must have seen sales reaching a plateau and starting to fall down, so they're like, fuck it, throw it in the vault.
Well, because Forza.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, Forza's a thing. But it seems like the span of time between when a game comes out and when it hits EA Access is shrinking.
Which I think isn't that bad. Games are always going to be cyclical and have a new one every year. So the sooner the better, I guess.
I can't help but wonder if they're going to try to compete and start putting games in there earlier because of Game Pass doing it instantly.
I don't know. I think EA still relies on their game sales for the primary income, where Microsoft has all their other avenues, and they're just looking to get gamers involved instead of selling X number of copies.
Yeah, it could be, but I do wonder if the whole Xbox is like, oh, here's Game Pass, and yeah, it's a little more expensive, but look at all the games immediately. And EA Access sitting there going, you guys took our idea and improved on it, now what the fuck are we supposed to do?
Well, they have the Origin Access Premier on a PC that has new releases day one, so maybe something that is will
so it come could to be like they turn around and go, for a slightly higher price, you could get it right now.
Yeah.
Because EA Access that happening. is incredibly cheap.
Yeah, it's only $30 a year.
So I mean I can't be surprised if they're like, oh, you know, here, $60 a year, and you can get it, you know, a month earlier, 2 months earlier, or a week after launch, or whatever, you know?
Yeah.
So, yeah,
that would... I don't know.
Not be the worst business move that they could make. I mean, DA, they've certainly fucked up... fucked up other stuff first, but, you know, there you go, EA, you have an idea.
But the third game that's being added next week on October 17th is Army of Two, which, yay, I guess.
I don't know. The way you like built up to that, I was expecting a bigger.
Well, I didn't build anything. It's just that was the last game that's being up, added. Though,
because you talked about the first two, and then, oh, by the way, Army of Two. And then it felt anticlimactic.
Oh, you're the one who
I know,
took the conversation in a different direction.
I can't help myself, Joe.
You went off topic, and then I had to bring it back, and like, Army of Two, motherfuckers!
That's not to say that Army of Two isn't a good game, but...
Carnage has a point. I wish they'd bring the goddamn servers back.
Yeah. I mean, if they made it backward compatible, they made it games with gold, now it's on EA Access, just fucking give people the server so they can get the completion in it and quit bitching on Twitter all the time, like somebody we know.
Or better yet, instead of Army of Two, give us Army of Two the 40th day, because that is one of my favorite shooters of all time.
Was that one better? I didn't play the 40th
day. It was fucking amazing. I loved it so much.
I played maybe an hour of the first game, and I was playing with, like, after I watched D play, and then I was like, well, I'll just watch him finish playing it, and then I moved on to something else.
Yeah, try the 40th day, because I never played the first game, and then I played the demo for the 40th day, and a friend of mine was going to be picking it up, so I was like, you know what, fuck it, I'll try this game, why not? Try something new for once. And he and I, we blazed through the entire game, then we blazed through it again on the hardest difficulty, then we blazed through it again just to do, like, mop-up achievements and try different routes, because there's some branching areas in the game, and then I blazed through it with, like, two other friends.
Damn.
I love Army of Two, the 40th day. And then I played the original, I'm like, I want the 40th day back. Which is why The Devil's Cartel, for how disappointing that was, like, I love the 40th day so much, and then the Devil's Cartel was just meh.
I don't think I even watched anybody play the Devil's Cartel. I was just like, well, that's a thing.
But yeah, you should definitely check out 40th day.
40th day.
And another good shooter, if people are looking for a really, really fun shooter, 50 Cent Blood on the Sand.
Was that actually good? Like, you always
Oh my god, it is so fun.
It's always in the bargain bin at GameStop, and you're just like, nobody buys that, and I don't know why. I have
it. It's on my shelf. I love it.
Everything is like, your shelf is like a black hole for games. It's just, oh, there's a new release, and that's your shelf. voice. That's what it sounds like.
I've been trying to do better at actually playing the new releases I get. Like, I've already dumped a good 10 hours into Assassin's Creed.
I saw you playing that earlier, actually, and I was like, that's not Forza.
Yeah, it's really, really good. It kind of has the Forza effect in that it's overwhelming. Like, I saw the map for it, and then I moved the map around, and then the map just kept moving and moving and moving and moving. And then I, for the hell of it, I got the collector's edition guide for like $23 or something like that. Normally 40, so why not? And I opened it up, and it had a map with it, like a world map with it. And I opened it and looked at it, I'm like, oh, well, this isn't going to be too bad. And then I folded it open again. And it blew my mind how massive the game is.
Yeah, it really is. I have missed out the last two Assassin's Creed. I usually get them once they go on sale for like $15. So I've got some waiting to do. Look at that's ridiculous. Yeah. You can't even hold it in the camera. All I can see is like one little fold of it. Scoot over. There you go.
Look at that. That's crazy. This is going to make for a fantastic listening experience.
That's fine. Go to twitch.tv, the SML podcast, instead of listening to us. You can actually see our shit. Oh, we're ASMR now.
I figure I might as well give the MP3 listeners some of the experience. That was me folding the map back up.
We're ASMR now. You gotta whisper when you do it, though, like this.
Here I am, taking a sip of my iced tea.
You gotta talk like I did when I was sick.
That's relaxing, right?
We're horrible at this. But Showtime's got tinglies on his neck, I can tell you that.
as overwhelming as I thought Assassin's Creed Odyssey was, just looking at the map, my collector's edition of the game, because I own like every Assassin's Creed collector's edition, so I'm keeping the tradition up, even mm-hmm. though I've been trying to cut down on collector's editions. It didn't come with the one DLC pack, so I contacted Ubisoft, and they apologized, and they sent it over, and they also sent me a code for a Helix credit pack, which is like the microtransaction, the real money shit that you can get.
Yeah.
And I bought for 900 Helix credit things, whatever. They had a pack of the four different maps of all like the hidden treasures and the gems that you can get and the special chests. And I activated it and I looked at my map and I about wanted to cry. There were so many icons on the map.
I mean, you can easily lose 200 or 300 hours. In Assassin's Creed, just exploring, looking at shit, and trying to collect shit. I imagine that Odyssey is even worse. Like, I remember playing Assassin's Creed 2.
Yeah, I'm gonna guess Odyssey is significantly larger.
Well, no, but like there were 100 feathers that you had to collect, and. I just remember like spending an obscene amount of time collecting those feathers. I could imagine that Odyssey probably has something similar to 100 feathers just randomly hidden around that you have to go find.
Probably the Orichalcum ore, or however the fuck you say that thing.
I don't know. But yeah, you're going to lose a lot of time at that shit.
Yeah.
Have fun with that completion. Bye.
Yeah, I don't plan on ever completing that game. But let's see what other news. Forza Horizon 4 has seen over 2 million players in the first week of the game's release.
I'm not surprised.
Me neither.
I'm impressed, but not surprised. Like, that's one of those where you just, like, you hear the number and you go, okay, and? Because that's what you expect out of a game that pulls in the kind of review scores that Forza did. It's kind of just a given that it's blown people's socks off, and
yeah, it's apparently the fastest selling game in the series as well, which again, not a shocker, because goddamn, is it a good game.
It's pretty, but it's overwhelming. I think we already mentioned that, but it really is just so much shit to do. I haven't even made it to the Horizon roster yet.
Really?
Yeah. Like, I keep getting shiny object syndrome. And I start running around collecting boards, and then I'm like, shit, I gotta go do this championship shit so that I can actually play the game.
Yeah, you should probably do that.
One day this weekend.
You're missing out on, like, a good chunk of the game by not playing the game to where you should be playing the game.
I know. I don't think I can even play it online yet.
No, you can't.
Yeah. Because I know I was fussing at Studio. I was like, we've got to get to like level 20 before we can even play online.
No, you but just got to get on the Horizon roster.
You just got to get to the roster. Yeah. Then it's like, okay, well, we're both online. We might as well go play something we can play together rather than going and grinding this out. And then, of course, when he's not online, I'm like, well, I got to grind out these review games.
Oh, boy.
Shit. And then he gets online and I'm like, no, Forza, fuck!
Oh, let's see, what other news is there? PlayStation is starting in its little beta testing preview group, testing for PlayStation ID changes. So they're officially entering the 21st century with the ability to change your goddamn tag on PlayStation. It's about time.
The first one is free.
Yep.
I actually saw this. Free. I know what I'm going to talk about on this one.
First one is free. After that, it's $10 each. Unless you're a PlayStation Plus member, then it's $4.99. $5.
Yeah. So that's... I actually was a little jealous here because I was like, boy, it'd be nice. Not that I'm ever going to change my name because I'd have to change it literally everywhere at this point. And people would still just call me Eternal. But I was a little jealous that, you know, if you're a PlayStation Plus member, you could do it at half price. Because that's not something Xbox does. You have to pay the $10 either way on Xbox.
Yeah.
So, yeah, they had to wait 3 million years to do it, but they got a slightly better deal out of it.
No. Well, Microsoft needs all that extra money.
They do, so that, you know, we can get Forza in Game Pass on day one.
Or so that they could invest in new studios, because there are rumors. How's this for a segue? Nice. There are rumors that Microsoft is in talks to purchase Obsidian Entertainment. You might know them as the developers of Pillars of Eternity, Fallout New Vegas, Knights of the Old Republic 2, basically known as an RPG-focused studio. And Microsoft is apparently in talks. Sources with knowledge of the deal tell Kotaku that it's, quote, 90% finished, and, quote, it's a matter of when, not if. What do you think of this?
I mean, everybody's been hollering for more RPGs on Xbox. So it makes sense. I don't really know if Obsidian might be the best studio. Maybe they could be with some more Microsoft money thrown at them.
And guidance.
But yeah, because I seem to hear everybody say, oh, Fallout was not the best. You know, Fallout New Vegas was not the best one in the series. So, you know,
see, most people thought New Vegas was better than Fallout 3.
Really? Because I always hear opposite. I always hear everybody complain about New Vegas.
I mean, it was still glitchy.
We have different everybody's around us. That's
we
okay.
do. The joy of opinions.
Yeah, I mean, it's just one of those, like, I haven't played it. I have Fallout 3 and Fallout 4 is in Game Pass. I haven't played either of them.
You should.
I should. It's what that backlog life.
Hey, I've told the story a bunch of times on the show that Fallout is what helped me start playing shooters.
I remember you saying that. Yeah. See, I already play shooters and I'm good at them. So.
Yeah. So you should play Fallout anyway.
I could actually play it on hard difficulty. not a lot of games I can do that with.
You could play it without using the VAT system like me.
What's a VAT system?
That's the, basically, you hit the button and it pauses the game and it zooms into what percentage you have of hitting each different body part.
Really?
Yeah, so it's basically an RPG mechanic where it freezes time and you select where you're shooting, and then once you use up all your whatever ability points on shots, the thing plays out and then you shoot.
Is that in every Fallout?
Yeah.
Interesting.
I don't know if it's in like 1 and 2, the early ones. I would imagine it is, but.
Interesting. But I didn't know that that was even a thing. But yeah, again,
that's what helped me get into shooters, because I didn't have to aim.
You don't have to aim. No.
You don't. You could if you want to, but it's not required, so.
Wow.
It made it easier for me.
That's good, though. I'm all about accessibility, so I'm not mad at it. But anyway, back to Microsoft buying them.
I think it would be a good thing. There was apparently supposed to be some kind of exclusive in the early days of the Xbox One from Obsidian, but that fell through in the Matrix era. But it looks like Phil Spencer is trying to right the ship and get them on board again.
Hmm.
Yeah, I'm dropping knowledge on you.
You are. I did not know that. Pillars of Eternity is generally pretty well reviewed, right?
Mm-hmm.
So it's not necessarily that they suck as a studio or anything. They just need the proper money and guidance thrown at them. And maybe we could see something decent RPG-wise out of them. But then people will still be like, but it's not a JRPG. There's still going to be somebody mad, man.
I don't give a shit. As long as it means more games coming out, that's all I care about.
I fully expect that next year's E3 is just going to be exclusive after exclusive after exclusive after exclusive.
They need it. After how many years of fairly lackluster E3s, they need something to just blow everybody's pants off.
You say that like we're wearing pants when we watch this show anyway.
I am, in fact, wearing pants.
No, pants are overrated.
I have to wear pants. I have a leather chair. It just gets weird if I don't. Gets extra squeaky and sticky.
Embrace the weird, Joe. Embrace
the stick.
Yep.
But
Speaking of dicks,
last bit of news I have is backward compatibility. Only one game was added this week, but it's a two-game one game with the Metal Gear Solid 2 and 3 HD being added to the lineup. That's actually pretty
cool. See, I remember, I didn't play Metal Gear Solid, but I remember watching David play them. And then the series just kind of flew so far off the handle, I lost interest in it. But I would probably consider going back and playing 2 and 3.
Well, now you can.
Yay!
Yay!
Backward compatibility is awesome.
It is. Now if we could just get 50 Cent Blood on the Sand backward compatible.
I wish I knew who to reach out to so that I could, like, put that bug in their ear for you.
That would be amazing. And it's online, too. It was so fucking fun to play that game online. Really? Yeah.
Really?
I would imagine the servers are still up, but I don't know for sure. But yes, it was online.
Who developed that?
I don't know.
Well, get your case and look at it.
Oh, Jesus. Fucking come over here.
Scoot your chair.
It's a good thing that my 360 games are so close to it. It was developed. Who developed it? Shady, I think. I can't even read this thing.
Wow.
Swordfish Studios, Shady Records. Oh, that's the Swordfish Studios, I guess, developed it and published by THQ.
Really? Let's see. Now that you know what that means, is that we're going to hear THQ Nordic has purchased the rights to Blood in the Sand.
Oh my God, I would love it. I would be so happy if we got 50 Cent Blood on the Sand remastered. It is such a cheesy, over-the-top, insane game, and I loved it.
I'm looking up Swordfish Studios because this is a thing I can do. And I'm just overwhelmingly tickled by the fact that Their games include 50 Cent Blood on the Sand and rugby and cricket.
Diverse lineup.
Like, what? Apparently, they have not made anything for Xbox One. Their last game was in 2010, so they may be upside down. Oh, yeah, they closed down in 2010. Okay.
Oh, that's a bummer. You want to know what's not a bummer?
What's not a bummer?
No Time for Games dropping 250 bitties.
Yay!
Dropping bits!
I can't do a voice like that. Thanks for the bitties, though.
if anyone listened to the last episode of the show, they would get the whole dropping bits thing. Because Norg was here, and things got crazy with him.
Things always get crazy with Norg. Have you heard that guy?
Yeah, once or twice. He was doing a review of the Bard's Tale 4, and he was like, I have a lot to talk about. So I was like, you know what? Fuck this. If you're doing a long review, I'm going to stream it. And Swizzlers dropped by and was watching. He dropped some bits, and one of George's favorite things is the porn star, I think his name is Nick Manning, screaming, "Droppin' loads." So George just like, top of his lungs screaming out, dropping bits.
I think I saw you guys go online and it was either really late or I was not in a position where I could watch. And I was like, shit.
Yeah, it was late. It was fun though. Yeah. We spent almost an hour together.
I was like, my old ass has to go to bed sometime, people.
Well, if you go to twitch.tv/theSML podcast and watch the video on demand.
Oh, yeah. I always forget about VODs.
You could see everything, including what didn't air on the show.
It's like outtakes. It's amazing. It's
magic. See behind the scenes of this awful show.
I'd say it's a blooper reel, but we leave everything in here anyway. So
pretty much.
But, the whole show's a blooper reel.
But yeah, that's all I got for news. Anything on your end? Or do you just want to dive into the reviews?
I just want to dive into reviews. I want to talk about things.
All right. Well, first game to talk about tonight is called Mark of the Ninja Remastered, developed and published by Clay Entertainment, released October 9th on Xbox One, PS4, Switch, and Steam for $19.99. If you own the game on Steam or 360, you can upgrade to Remastered for $4.99, same platform only, obviously. If you own the game plus the special edition DLC, you get the game for free.
Very nice.
Which is awesome. In Mark of the Ninja, you'll know what it is to truly be a ninja. You must be silent, agile, and clever to outwit your opponents in a world of gorgeous scenery and flowing animations. Cole, tell us about it.
That's all for the summary?
Yes. That's all I got.
Wow. Okay, so this is a 2D stealth platformer. You play as a ninja. Please don't ask me to repeat the name of this clan. I can't do it. It starts with an H. and basically, your ninja clan has been attacked. There's bad guys. You're going to want to have to murder them, but you can also move through and not murder them if you choose. The game is very reminiscent. I want to say reminiscent, although I think it came out before this, but if you've played Assassin's Creed, China, you're kind of on the track here for how this is going to play out for you. If you like that, you're not going to be surprised with this. The art style has a very early.
What the hell was that?
Did you hear that?
Uh-huh.
One of the dogs is trying to open the bedroom door.
Nice.
Yeah. I just heard David go, ah, until it's quit.
Nice.
Well done. Nailed it. Anyway, the game has like a very 2000s Nickelodeon or Disney Channel kind of art style to it. As soon as I loaded it up, I was like, this looks like Kim Possible. it's cel shaded and it's very pretty, but it's definitely got more of a cartoon aesthetic to it. Even though the actual content of the game is not at all humorous, it's definitely more dark and mature. There's a little bit of juxtaposition there, I guess you could say. you'll want to move through the level as stealthily as possible. Stealthily is hard to say. But you'll want to try to stay in the shadows, avoid being detected. The enemy AI are dumb. Holy shit. I don't know. I have a dog beside me.
Got in.
He did. Give me just a moment.
Nope. We are live. Nothing is getting cut out.
Nothing gets cut out, but I'm going to mute and tell him to go to bed.
Go lay down, doggy. Obey the voice on the microphone. Or in the speakers, I guess.
I locked the door from the outside.
So you're stuck in there forever?
I'm in the living room. David is stuck in there forever.
Ah, rip. Okay.
Anyway, back to the game. The enemy AI, the soldiers that are looking for you, are fucking stupid. Like, you can distract them by using darts and smoke and firecrackers and things like that. Just pretty standard fare for a stealth game. It's the fact that if you kill one of them and you leave the body laying, another one's liable to see it, walk up to it, freak the fuck out, and then turn around and walk away. Forget anything happened. And it's very weird. That aside, though, basically what you want to do is approach each room that you come to and try to think of ways to get through the room and accomplish your objectives, because sometimes there are like hidden collectibles, like scrolls and things that you'll want to find, or artifacts. And you'll want to try to accomplish any objectives while staying out of sight of the enemies or avoiding having to kill them. But if you do kill them, then you have to think about, am I going to leave the body and let the dumbass find it and take that point penalty? Or am I going to try to hide things and keep everything under wraps to maximize the points that I'm going to get?
Hide the bodies.
Yeah, hide the bodies.
That's what I do in Assassin's Creed, hide them all.
Throw them off a cliff into the river. Yes. But it allows for you to play the game the way that you want, even though it's a stealth game and you're limited to this is the area, this is your tools. You can take it, you know, and be more stealthy and thoughtful about it. Or you can just play fast and loose because they're so goddamn dumb, they're going to walk away anyway. There is a score system, and each chapter has different objectives. So that gives you a little bit of reason to go back and replay if you want to try to get a better score, or if you missed a collectible or one of the objectives. They're usually something as simple as, you know, there's four large gongs hidden throughout the level, hit all the gongs, or, you know, collect all the relics, or get through and save your sensei without being detected for the level or whatever. So it ups the challenge if you want to try to take those on, but you don't have to.
Keeps you busy. Unless
you want the achievements, in which case, fuck you, do everything. The controls for this game are incredibly tight, and I was really impressed. There's a lot of wiggle room when it comes to these kind of games where, you know, detection isn't always ideal, or the area you think is clear, somehow you magically get seen even though you're in shadows or whatever. The way that you move your character is so fluid and everything is so responsive that it was just like, holy shit, how does this game fly under the radar? Like, everybody should be playing this and going, can you believe how smooth this shit is? Because it really is just controlled beautifully. The movement, like I said, is really fluid. You can climb along the walls. You just feel like a ninja when you're lurking around.
Which is good to feel.
It is. Well, I mean, a lot of ninja games, even stealthy games, Even when they try to put the emphasis on the stealth, but that fast and loose option is there, it's like, oh, just run out into the open and murder everybody and then go to the next room. And you're not going to get away with that with this. Even though the AI are dumb as fuck, if they see you, you're SOL. Because your sword, you've been trained to only use your sword when you can guarantee a kill in one hit. So unless you have the element of surprise, unless you snuck up behind somebody and can get that one hit stealth kill, you're stuck. They're gonna shoot you. They've got guns and you can't do anything but karate chop them. Maybe one out of the five or six times that I triggered them accidentally and couldn't stealthily kill them, was I able to actually get the kill despite that. So you do. Yeah, you can, you know, hop in there and be a little careless and leave bodies laying around or whatever, but you're not going to just, like, jump into a room and start chopping everybody down with your sword.
Ian in the chat saying, you gotta surprise them sons of bitches, y'all.
He's not wrong.
I love how he makes fun of you.
Yeah.
But all things considered, $20 on this one. What do you think of it?
I give it a buy it. Even if you didn't play it before, if you hadn't, you know, if you're not going to get the free upgrade, buy the game. If you enjoy 2D platformers in any kind of capacity, you're going to have a lot of fun here, especially if you like stealth. If you don't like stealth, you might have a little harder time, but it's definitely an enjoyable game.
And it's from Clay, so it's quality right there. I don't think they've ever made a bad game.
I don't know off the top of my head what else they made.
They made Shank series, Don't Starve.
Okay, Don't Starve. But I haven't played that. I haven't played Don't Starve. I'm just familiar with it.
Yeah. Well, you should be familiar with it. Chop, chop. Anyway, next game to talk about is called Guns, Gore, and Cannoli 2, developed and published by Crazy Monkey Studios. Released October 12th on Xbox One for $12.99. Guns, Gore, and Cannoli 2 revives the good old action platform run-and-gun genre, but this time with a bunch of humor and buckets of blown-off body parts. In the sequel to Guns, Gore, and Cannoli, Vinnie Cannoli's story continues, and this time it's personal. Cole, tell us about this one.
So, I actually didn't play the first Guns, Gore, and Cannoli. I'm not familiar with Vinnie's story. This is my first run-in with this series. It is a 2D action shoot 'em up platformer. Is it technically a twin stick?
It feels like a twin stick. It really does.
Yeah, because you aim with the right and you move with the left, and it's technically a 2D twin stick. They got Carnage's attention right there. You're going to be basically going from left to right, but there's some up and down movement as well, because it is a platformer. And shooting up zombies and mobsters in Thug Town. and really just having a good time. I will say I expected it to be a lot more of a fast-paced game than it is. I was a little surprised that it was not just like a constant onslaught of enemies. And I don't know if maybe it was the difficulty I played it on, or if I wanted that constant threat that maybe I needed to play at a higher difficulty. But I was very surprised that I was walking around aimlessly a lot more than I expected.
Well, if you're talking about when we played together, don't forget I was slaughtering a bunch of stuff and you were kind of lagging behind me.
Well, yeah, but when I played it alone too, I was kind of like, okay, but where's everything else? And I was lagging behind you because you were murdering everything. So I was just trying to like look for secrets and stuff. And I was like, well, there's a lot of opportunities for there to be things hidden, because there's like these little cubby holes in the levels where the enemies come out of, and you can go into them, and sometimes there's a weapon or so, but there's not anything like, oh, there's not a collectible or a note or anything at all like that. And I'm not usually one to be like, give me more collectibles, but it just kind of seemed like a missed opportunity that there wasn't more shit in those little cubby holes, because they were literally everywhere. And that's why I kept getting stuck behind you. I was like, oh, points. Look, oh, a wall. Let me see what's in here. And it wouldn't be anything. or, you know, you could, like, you were going off to the right. And I had gone down a couple of times into different parts of the area, because there are, like, some below ground type bunker areas. And I was just, like, wandering around looking for different kinds of secrets and shit, and there just wasn't a lot to be had. That said, when you are in some of these fights, especially when you're in the, I don't know, to use the term from Left 4 Dead, they would say it was a crescendo when you had more of a swarm coming at you. They were really high energy, like fast-paced action moments, and some of those enemies just made you want to hate your life.
Oh, the blue dudes who punch you.
They take a charge and go, and they just run at you full speed and punch you with brass knuckles, and they send your happy ass flying.
They wreck your shit.
They don't do a ton of damage to your health bar. They just throw you out of the loop, because then you're like, where the fuck am I even at on the screen anymore? And if you've got a larger swarm, If you're actually to one of the scenes where there's a larger zombie swarm, them guys knocking you around can fuck you up and get you killed, because you just don't know where they sent you flying to. And then you realize by the time you find yourself, you're like swarmed by zombies who are beating you with their arms. And then you're just like, well, shit. I do want to say, though, that the game is pretty forgiving with checkpoints. I thought there were a lot of checkpoints. You could die and you weren't going to lose a whole lot of progress. You might get sent back a scene or so, but it was never a dramatic part where you're like, oh man, all the way back here. So it was pretty forgiving. It is a shorter campaign. I think there's only like 3 boss battles in total. I didn't make it all the way to the end, but there's,
I know it's something
there's
you could beat in like 3 hours or so.
Yeah, it does not take long. I kind of have mixed feelings about that. Like, it, on one hand, you kind of want it to be a little longer. On the other, there's a perk to it being so short in that you could just grab a friend and run through it, and you're gonna need some time to grind out some of the zombie kills for the achievements. So it's one of those things where you're like, hey, look, you got 15, 20 minutes. Let's run through this and let's go, you know, tally up some zombie heads for real quick and then carry on and go do something else. So, you know, there's an upside and a downside to it being short. Like, you could plan an afternoon with a friend and play through it and be content. It is fun with a friend, though.
Oh, it's a blast.
Yeah, I had a lot of fun playing it co-op online. And everybody knows I'm a big supporter of online. As soon as you say, there's online, I'm like, fuck yeah! Give me a friend! So, I wasn't mad at that at all. It wasn't the best online experience, though. There's definitely some kinks that need ironed out. Were you able to accept the invite when I invited you, or did you have to search for me?
I didn't even get an invite from you.
Yeah, so when you were inviting me, it wouldn't join via the invite. I had to go into the menu and search for a game and find you that way. And so I'm assuming if you didn't get my invite, that's how you joined me as well.
Well, it's possible that invites weren't working because we played pre-release. So that's always a possibility. It.
That's always, like, I always forget that, too, when we're playing a game. And then I'm like, why aren't the invites working? And then 3 days later, I'm like, oh.
Because it wasn't out. Yeah, yeah. Well,
so that's a thing that happens. But so the invites were up in the air. But you had some lagging issue, or you had some connection issues overall.
Yeah, and I dropped out of the one game with you for some reason, and when that happened, you got booted to the main menu as well.
Because you were host.
Yeah, there's no host migration, which is kind of a bummer. There's also just, in general, it feels like there's more technical issues with this. I already had, you know, one sequence where you blow up a couple barrels and then a truck blows up. It just cut right back to the main menu of the game.
Really? See, I didn't have anything like that, but I did notice that some of the cinematic sequences, the timing was really off on them. Like, it didn't seem like I triggered them in the kind of time allotment it was expecting, if that makes sense. Like, there's one sequence where a ball chases you down a hill and the door flies open right before the ball starts to roll. And for me, the ball would start rolling and smash me against the door before the door would open.
Mm.
And I'm like, wait a second, what am I even supposed to do? What's my option here? And then, like, by the fourth or fifth time, it finally does it properly and like, lined itself out. Or there would be some sequences where you're supposed to have that crescendo and there's supposed to be that big rush of zombies. And you can feel that it's supposed to be fluid. Like, you get into the area and you should be getting assaulted as soon as you step into that arena. And yet somehow I spent like 5 straight minutes just blindly hopping around this arena where this big fight was obviously supposed to be taking place with no indicator of what to do, no zombies spawning. I'm just sitting there like, okay, now what? I can't go anywhere. I can't do anything. I'm just waiting for a door to open.
Yeah, it definitely feels a bit sloppier than the first game. I don't know if this is stuff that could be ironed out with patches, or if, you know, I don't know. It didn't feel as tight and as clean as the first game.
I can't imagine that they couldn't patch it. I mean, it just seems like there's some awkward timing instances as far as single player goes. Although, to be fair, I thought at first when it did it in co-op when we were playing online, I wondered if it was lag. But after having the same kind of things happen in single player, I was like, yeah, this is definitely just a quirk to the game. Because there were instances where, like, doors weren't opening when they should, like I mentioned before, or the scene wouldn't shift out of a fight arena to the next stage.
Yeah, I don't know. But overall, $13 on it. What do you think of it?
For $13, I do still give it a very recommended try it. I enjoyed it. I had a lot of fun. It's just got some quirks to iron out, and I hope that they work on the online a little bit more.
I agree. Still a really, really solid game. It's not as good as the first in my eyes, but it's still really, really solid, and I love the fact that it has online.
And it's an easy completion. That gets it bonus points.
Of course it does for you.
Next!
Next to talk about is Overcooked 2 Surf and Turf DLC, developed by Ghost Town Games, published by Team 17, released October 3rd for $5.99, and requires Overcooked 2 to play, obviously. Get your sunglasses on, gather your chef squad, and fire up the barbecue. It is time to go to the beach. Cole, how is the DLC?
The DLC is incredible. I think for the price of the DLC and the value that it adds is just absolutely a no-brainer. There are 12 new levels. There are 2 additional secret Kevin levels. If you've played the base game, you know that a couple of the levels will have like secret objectives that you have to get where you have to reach a certain score or, you know, a combo pattern or something like that to open up levels where you make dim sum for Kevin. And so there's 2 more of those in addition to the 12, the 12 new levels.
That's a lot of new levels.
That it will. And you consider too, the base game was 6 chapters and there's 3 in the DLC. There are 2 levels per chapter short in the DLC, though, compared to the base game. So it's 3 chapters with 4 levels as opposed to 6 chapters with 6 levels. But again,
it's still a lot of content.
It's DLC, that's still a lot. Given, too, that it's not just, that it's not just a campaign experience, but that you can replay these levels in arcade mode and in versus mode with or against your friends, that adds a lot more to an already healthily stocked game. There was no shortage of content to begin with, but the levels are well-designed, well-thought-out. They're challenging. I do think Ghost Town might have listened to people who complained that the base game was too easy. 1 and I played the base game, completed it, just me and her. We've played it with other people like Jacob and my buddy Studa, but for the campaign itself, we rolled through it alone. We got the 3 stars. We were looking forward to the new game plus, which adds a 4-star. That update was free, which, you know, added a 4-star to the game. But a lot of people fussed that it was too easy, especially compared to the first Overcooked. I was not mad at this. I needed an easier game because I play it with a 14-year-old.
Yeah.
But they play it with a cat. Yeah, they definitely listened to people's complaint that it was too easy, though, and bumped that difficulty up. Now, that's not to say that 1 and I weren't able to complete the DLC. We did. But if you go back and you want to tackle that new game plus mode and those 4 stars, I hope like hell you have a whole group to play with or you're not getting anywhere.
Nice.
So, like I said, though, the 4-star thing, that's not DLC specific. That's just they updated and added that. But the 4-star New Game Plus mode is available for the DLC as well. So
that's cool that they have it across everything.
Yeah. So if you buy the DLC and you're like, this still wasn't challenging enough, good luck trying to get like 4,000 points. On the very first level.
So is there anything different in the DLC that wasn't in the main game?
They added a water pistol. to some of the, it shows up around level 1-3, I think it is where it first makes an appearance. There's also two additional recipes to learn and 4 new chefs that you can play as, including one that is a return of a popular chef from Overcooked 1. The 2 new recipes, one is smoothies, the other is barbecue kebabs. So as opposed to just chopping up the ingredients and putting them on the grill, you have to actually heat the grill up using bellows, which makes things tough because then you've actually got to sit there and like, you can't just abandon something while it cooks to go chop something else. And it really, really forces you to, consider how you're going to tackle these recipes if you think, okay, I have to sit and heat this up. I can't just leave it sit.
Consider having more friends.
Yeah. I literally was like, some of the later levels, man, number one, we got through them. We got the 3 stars, but we really just kept sitting there going, man, we'd kill for 1 more pair of hands right now.
We need just Jacob.
Yeah. he was really, really good at putting out fires for us. So we could have used him to at least keep a fire going this time. The other thing is the water pistol, which is really unique because you don't have to stand somewhere and wash the dishes. You don't even have to put the dishes down to wash them. You can just spray the person holding the dishes and it will clean them.
Nice.
There, you have to be careful with this though, because the water pistol has a little oomph behind it and it will knock you the fuck off the board. So if you're playing versus, you're in danger of like, somebody's going to grab the water pistol and just spend the whole game. They're going to get one dish out and spend the whole rest of the game squirting everybody off of the board.
Playing defense.
Yeah, and just be like, they're going to win dirty. You're going to be squeaky clean because they sprayed you with the water pistol the whole time. But that's going to cause, like, I just already know this weekend when my kids get to sit down and play that they're just going to be fine. She's got the water pistol and won't let me make any meals. I can hear the arguments. I know. And I'm going to be sitting there going, I'm not refereeing Overcooked for you guys.
Mom, this is bullshit. Yeah, I know it is, honey.
I know, I played with her too. She cheats. But it's an interesting dynamic, especially as far as versus goes, to add in something like that where you can really mess up everybody else. If there's only one set of bellows on the board and one of you takes off with the bellows and the other can't get them, then sucks to be them.
Jeez.
So, yeah. Can't wait to see how many, you know, families that tears apart.
Well, do I even need to ask your opinion on this for only $6?
I fucking love this. So please buy it. Oh, bonus points too. If you have Overcooked and your friend has the DLC and you want to try it out, ask them to host the game. Only the host needs to have the DLC for online. However, the people who have joined will not get achievements for progress in the story unless they own the DLC and are hosting.
Which kind of makes sense.
Yep. So it's on the bright side though, like if you want to try it out and you don't want to, you know, cough up the $6 until you're sure that you're actually even going to enjoy it or have enough friends to play it with or whatever, here's a chance. Find somebody that does have it and say, hey, can you host a game so I can see it?
Nice. We'll have to play that later.
Yes.
We'll have to harass Jacob to and fucking Studa. Join us.
Studa's in chat, so, you know.
We'll have a party.
Me. Yeah.
But one final game to talk about tonight is called Spencer, developed and published by Entwickler X, released October 11th on Xbox One for $6.99. Spencer is an intergalactic traveler who crashed his spaceship on Earth. Alien monsters, stowaways have broken out and stole important parts to repair the spaceship. Help Spencer get the missing items for a ship, destroy enemies, collect coins and diamonds to cover all tracks on Earth. Cole, how is Spencer?
I didn't realize that Spencer had such a dynamic story to it, because when you actually play it, It's a lot more low-key as far as the story goes. It doesn't really explain anything to you, which is fine. It isn't, I don't know if I want to say it's an action platformer, but you do bounce on enemies' heads, so I guess it's an action platformer.
And there's a punch attack.
There is a punch attack. Still, though, even with the whole jumping on enemies' heads and the punch attack, it is suitable for all ages to play. And I think that's one of the neat things about it is that this is a good platformer for kids who aren't quite ready to tackle Super Meat Boy. This is a good intro platformer. It's an easy completion. It's easy to play. Even on its default setting, it's easy to play, but if you find that it's too difficult, there's still an option to go into the settings and set it to be easier, which gets rid of the levels that have like spikes or little shooting turrets. It makes those disappear. Oh, so then that's the only, cool. Yeah, the only thing you have to deal with then are the baddies. Each level has some gems that you can collect. Then there are collectible coins, which are your main objective. Once you collect all the coins, then it activates a portal and you can leave. There's a second set of gems that become available. It's called Ghost Mode. Once you get all of the coins, these second set of gems will kind of fall into the level. Ideally you want to collect them all. But you will be chased by a little floating ghost. If the ghost touches you during ghost mode, then you do die and the ghost mode ends, whether you collect the coins or not. But you don't actually lose any health for that actual mode. So it is entirely optional. There's one achievement. Out of all 80 levels in the game, you only have to complete Ghost Mode once for an achievement.
Which is nice, instead of forcing people to get all the stars on every level, because there's a lot of fucking levels in this game.
There are 80 levels, which I thought was really impressive, and it's really neat because you can tell they span across the rooms of a house. Because you're trying to collect these parts that your spaceship needs so that you can get back to outer space, which I didn't know until I beat the game. I was like, oh, I was supposed to be trying to get back to space. I get it now. So you're ahead of the game already, because now you know why you're trying to collect batteries and a fish. but they clearly span across, like, one is a children's room and there's toys. Another room is clearly a bathroom because there's toilet paper rolls everywhere. There's a garage, a living room, and I think a kitchen. So it's neat that there's so much variety and so many different levels. But the core gameplay of just go from A to B, collect the gems, that you do get a scorecard at the end of each level that says whether or not you collected all the gems, whether or not you got through with 3 hearts or more, whether or not you completed ghost mode. But you don't have to do any of those things to actually beat the game.
Yeah.
All you have to get are the coins and the parts for the spaceship. And that's it. You go from A to B, get in and get out. So if you don't want to spend a whole ton of time grinding away at all of these extra stars, you don't have to. You can just casually play the game, set it to easy difficulty, go in and get your shit and be happy with it.
I think it would have been nice to have like leaderboards in the game or something so you could keep track of how well you did compared to your friends, but
yeah. I was surprised too, because it kind of seemed like the perfect setup for a speed run, but there was no timer. Like, none of the levels are timed. And on one hand, I was like, whew, thank goodness. And on the other, I was like, well, that's kind of a missed opportunity, because there are people who would have speed ran it. The biggest complaint I have about the game, I think you had frame rate issues, and I had those as well, but not quite to the extent that you did.
Well, my frame rate issues I have determined are because of the second console I have. I do need to get it replaced.
Yeah.
So I did run into. Go ahead.
I did have problems. Started around level 25. And then there were a few other levels where there's just like large amounts of baddies floating around. And the game gets a little framey on those levels. But you had more issues because of your console as opposed to mine, where the game did have issues, but it wasn't anything game breaking.
Yeah.
My like
the
other
issues I had, they don't even count because
yeah,
like the, my console's dying.
Give it a Band-Aid.
Punch it in the throat.
Do consoles have throats?
I don't fucking know.
I guess the disc tray could kind of be a throat. Anyway, I did have a problem with the game that the hit detection is really fucking shoddy. There are times where you are 100% certain you are at least a half inch away from an enemy, and then Spencer falls over and dies.
I've had a number of times where I've jumped on enemies and they would die and I would get hurt still.
Yeah, you would still take damage. It's just really up in the air, and I kind of found myself getting to a point where I was like, how can I get through here and deal with the baddies as little as possible? Because they were just a pain in the ass to try to kill. If there were two side by side and you're jumping on the one, because some of them have helmets and you have to jump on them twice to actually kill them, it'd be like, okay, I jumped on it, I took its helmet off, and the other one bit me from across the room. I don't know. Yeah, it's frustrating. On the plus side, when you respawn, it looks fucked up because you don't have a body. He's just like arms and legs and eyeballs walking around. I don't know why that decision was made, but you do have a few invincibility frames. So if you're particularly struggling, sometimes just getting hit on accident and sacrificing a health, you know, sacrificing a heart. Yeah. So that you can just like run through something that's getting on your nerves is worth it.
Speaking of the health, I kind of wish that every time you started a new level, your health refilled.
Yeah, that was kind of frustrating too, because you would get through a level and you'd be like, "Woo, I made it, I'm good." And then you'd start the next one and you'd die immediately because you don't know where to go and you only had one heart left over from the last level. And you're like, well, that's a thing. And it took me a couple of levels to realize that's what was going on. I was so confused because I was like, am I actually starting levels with less health, you know, to make it more difficult? And then I was like, no, I'm just bad. There are extra health pickups in some of the levels, but not in all of them, which makes starting, you know, starting with just one hit kind of an extra pain in the ass. That said, there's so little, there's literally no downside to dying that it didn't really matter either.
Yeah, you just restart the level.
Yeah, it would have been nice to at least start each level with full health just the same.
Yeah.
Because it just added extra time that you would have to go back and start again.
The only other gripe I could see really affecting people's decision to purchase the game, it's not the prettiest looking thing. It looks very basic, very early. I think it has a nice charm to it. It feels like a well-done version of Frizzy. Remember that game?
Yeah.
It feels like this is done by people who understood how to program a game.
Yeah, I can see that comparison. I definitely can. I don't think that this has like the meme quality of Frizzy, because it is at least completable and functional.
And enjoyable.
And enjoyable. I wasn't mad. Like, the weird thing about playing it was, I was like, I know deep down this is not the most amazing platformer I could be playing right now, but I'm having enough fun that I don't mind.
Yeah.
And I'm just kind of mindlessly running through it, and I'm enjoying myself enough to just keep running through. I was kind of surprised when I completed it, because I actually got all the achievements and everything, and then I put the controller down. I was like, what did I just do? And since you mentioned Frizzy and you know, not being quite top of the line quality, I do want to point out this was a two-man team that made this game, and there may have been some odd translation things going on, because there's a little note at the end after you actually beat it about how Spencer finally gets to make it back out into space. Spoiler alert! But, yeah, surprise. But it was like there were a lot of grammatical errors and stuff, and you're like, yeah, that's not native English speakers right there.
So, it happens.
Yeah, but if that's something that gets under your skin, just be warned. Skip the end card.
Well, how about this? How about you rewrite it, send it to me, and I'll send it over to them, and maybe they could update the game with a better ending text.
Okay. See, that's the plus side. There is chapter select, and I actually missed the end card the first time I played the game. And I thought, oh, I'm never going to get to see the end card. And then I have to go on the show and be like, I missed the end card after I beat it. But I actually just went back through and played level 80 again. And then I was able to see the ending again. And I was like, hey, and then I saw the end card and I was like, oh, grammar.
Well, overall, $7 on this one. What do you think of it?
$7. It's an easy completion. It's got some quirks. It could use a little bit of finesse, but I don't know. $7. Can I give it a fuck it? Why not?
Yeah, fuck it. Why not?
Fuck it. Why not? Yeah.
It's only $7, so fuck it. If you got $7 laying around, you're looking for an easy completion. It's a bit time consuming of a completion, but it's not going to.
Maybe 3 hours ish. Maybe a little less. Maybe not even that. Because here's the thing. Like, I started playing it, but I was playing it in little bursts as I was like going and doing laundry and taking care of the dogs and cleaning up the house. I'd play a couple levels, go do something else, come back, play a couple more levels. So like, I'm sure on my gamer card, it probably looks like I played like 19 hours. It was probably more like an hour and a half, 2 hours.
No, I think it was 19 hours.
Probably. I just really enjoyed Spencer, guys.
All right. Well, that is it for this episode. I like when we keep them shorter.
No, you don't.
Yeah, I do, because now I get to watch the rest of the football game.
Go enjoy your football game, Joe.
I will. Do you have any final words?
No, I already said them. Go enjoy your goddamn football game.